Psalm 32, verses 1 through 6 together. I'll read verse 1, and then you read verse 2 with me. Psalm 32, verses 1 through 6. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. And finish with me on verse 6. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. And let's pray together. Father, Lord, we just come this morning. It's wonderful to be in your house with your people as we look into your word. Yet, Father, we can't understand it. We can't apply it without your help. So, Father, please, do what only you can do this morning in our hearts. And, Lord, we just ask this for your praise and glory, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here it is on Father's Day, and our country and how it views manhood is so twisted and warped. And I realize any preaching on men, manhood, or any of that is going to go against the grain of our society. I know that. The Bible is not politically correct. There's nothing. You're either biblically correct or you're politically correct, but you can't be both. It's impossible. God is not politically correct. So listen closely to the statements I make. God's Word teaches you from the chapter 2, when you read the Bible, God's Word teaches us that men and women are not equal. That's an awful statement to make in this day and age, isn't it? It needs to be said. Men were not designed by God to physically carry the load that men can carry. That's why men's shoulders are broader. A lady's supposed to be petite and sweet and nice, and if he sees her carrying a heavy load, that's why men offer, can I get that for you? Don't carry that. Let me help you with that. Because men and women are not equal. They're not equal physically. They're not equal. They're not equal emotionally. God made men and women different. This year, and I think the part of last year, they started a terminology. There's no such thing as toxic masculinity. No such thing. Yet they say if you're masculine and you're for manhood, you're a threat to society. And I don't see anybody here that's griping you, but if that's griping you, stand by. Just think about the garage or something else in the next statements I'm getting ready to make. Think about this with me just for a second. There is no matriarchal society in history. None. There is no such thing as a society that's run by women. There never has been. You say, Amazons. Amazons is Greek mythology devised by Homer's 8th century B.C. Iliad. It comes from one poem. Well, Amazons are on pottery from the 3rd century. That's because it was Dream City. It's not real. It doesn't exist. Wonder Woman is not real. But I saw the movie. I'm telling you, Wonder Woman is not real. It is Have you noticed everything about the Greek mythology? Everything is godless and pagan. That's how come the Greek culture only lasted a couple of hundred years. It did not last a long time because its society was based on mythology, on things that weren't real. Cults, whether Spartans, a cult society, a warrior society, all of that. It lived very, very little. It did not live the length of the Roman Empire or any of the other empires. I wish people would think about that. One more time. Just listen. And I know it doesn't make the feminists happy, but every society runs best when it's controlled by men. History proves that. Your Bible will tell you. Look, they always talk about equality and women being paid. I like what President Trump said. They said, do you think women should be paid the same as men if they can do the same work? There's some computer jobs a woman can do better because their mind works faster. But you put a woman on a construction site? No, I'm sorry. She can't lift what a man can lift. I know that I'm coming from the Marine Corps. Here we go. I'm not trying to make anybody mad this morning. I'm trying to get people to think. No, you ask any person in the service, and they cannot stand women in the service. Every time, look, when we were in the field in the Marine Corps, every woman, it was a joke. It was a joke. Ask any man in the service now about women in the Marines, Army, Navy. Ask them. Now they're trying to get into the special forces. There's one difference in between men and women in the armed services. Every armed serviceman will tell you this. You ready? Testosterone. Men make better fighters than women. Women produce testosterone. That's the aggressive hormone. You understand? But women don't produce what men do. You can ask any soldier that on the field. You put a woman with a man out there, I couldn't imagine fighting side by side with a woman with a gun in her hand. It's not because I'm scared I'm going to get shot. Whoa, point it the other way, you know. I wouldn't be doing that. But even the special forces soldiers will tell you, when they put women on the team, a man's heart, a real man, wants to protect a woman. And if she takes a bullet on the field, it's a lot different than my buddy taking a bullet in the field. Him, it's like, here, dude, use my sock, you know, wrap it up or whatever. You know what I mean? I'm just saying you would handle it differently if your buddy gets shot, but you let a woman get shot next to you, your heart goes after that. And that's what the soldier says is playing mind games with them on the battlefield. You need to hear that from a soldier. Amen? Because you don't hear that on news. However, our society is twisting and downplaying men. And this morning, I wanted to make this statement. Being a father requires being a man, not a male. God has a lot to say about manhood and the blessed man in the Bible. 13 times in the Word of God, the word blessed is the man is found. When people think of the word blessed, they think of the Beatitudes. You know, blessed are the poor in spirit, and blessed are they that mourn from Matthew chapter 5, and blessed are the meek. That's not what I'm talking about this morning. Although, if you're going to understand the blessed man, you do need to understand the definition of the word blessed. The word blessed means to be happy or content because of blood that was shed. Blessed. Blood. Similar. Got some similarities in the etymology there as far as a word study. But if you understand the word blessed, it means to be happy or content because of blood that was shed. That leads me to say this morning, only a Christian can be blessed. I don't say God bless you. I say God bless you to you if I know you're saved. But I don't say God bless you to people out in the world, because you can't be happy until you realize that the blood was shed for you. Then you're blessed. Then you're blessed. But you can be blessed if you're saved. Amen. You have the potential of being happy because of the blood that was shed for you. It's important to understand that definition. The word blessed is found in the Bible 60 times. 60 times. The word blessed is the man is found 13. Many things go up and down in life. Politics change. Sports change. The economy changes. But there are eternal things that can bring contentment in our life because they don't change. This morning, I want to look at the blessed man. Now, I love this verse. In preparing this sermon, I just thought of we won't look at it, but Psalm 37:37 says, mark the perfect man, mark him, and behold the upright. And I love this, for the end of that man is peace. You take notice of the man that's interested in being physically mature, spiritually mature, and emotionally mature. And that man is a peaceful man. And you can't have peace without God. The world doesn't give peace. Now, we were looking at Psalm 32. The word blessed is found in the first verse and the second verse. Get ready to turn in your Bible, but look at verse number 1 and 2. Ready? Let's read it again. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit There is no guile. So God says, blessed is the man in verse 2. Now, what I'd like you to understand is that's in the Old Testament, right? Go to the New Testament and go to Romans where this verse is quoted. Look in Romans chapter 4, and then we're going to look at how the first quality of a blessed man. A blessed man. Romans chapter 4, and look at verse number 6. God quotes Psalm 32 in Romans 4. And anytime God repeats something in the Bible, God's repetition is his loudspeaker. So the more God repeats something, the more you can turn up the volume. More God's trying to make sure you don't miss it. So Romans chapter 4, look at verse 6. Ready? Even as David, and that's in reference to the Psalms, also describeth, here we go, the blessedness of the man. Unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. So, the word impute, we don't use it, but it's a wonderful word. It means to record the details. If you impute something, you write the details down. God says, when your sin, how do you get your sins forgiven? And I'll show you that this morning. But here, God says, for you to get to heaven, you have to have God's righteousness and holiness put on your account. God has to impute or give or record under your name his righteousness. And when you get saved, you're blessed because you don't have your righteousness that you're counting on to get to heaven. You have God's righteousness. That's verse number 6. Ready? Look at verse 7. Watch this. We're going to see the verse quoted. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven. And whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. God says, when you get saved, he takes your sins and writes them under Jesus' name. And he takes Jesus' righteousness, the righteousness of God, and writes it under your name. And after you get saved, whenever that was, and I hope you know the time, you don't have to know the date, but you need to know the time you were saved. From that time forward, God doesn't write down your sins anymore under your name. He writes it under Jesus' name. That's how come once saved, always saved. God only has one type of salvation. It's eternal. God doesn't have any temporary salvation in the Bible. It's not found. Man does. Churches do. They have a temporary salvation, but God only saves one way, eternally. When you get his righteousness, then you're blessed or happy because of the blood that was shed, because now no sins are recorded, that's what it says, under your name. You can rejoice, Christian, a blessed man. The first quality of a blessed man is he's forgiven. Forgiven. We're all sinners. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We look around finding others that are worse than we are, and then we say, are we really that bad? Yes, we're that bad. We're hell-deserving, law-breaking sinners. Our measuring stick for sin, look, here's where the mistake is made. We think, I'm not as bad as they are. Well, they're not as bad as somebody else. Our measuring stick isn't each other. Our measuring stick is the Bible and the holiness of God. It's not each other. Well, I haven't done what they've done. Well, they haven't done some things other people have done. We're not the measuring stick. God's glory and perfection and holiness and righteousness is the measuring stick that none of us can measure to. And we all come short of that. We all come short of that. Now, God says, the wages of sin is death, and the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Ezekiel 18:4. When someone says, well, I've never killed anybody or robbed a bank. Look. It says in Revelation, I'm just covering this, how do you get your sins forgiven? The fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. That's Revelation 21:8. How many lies, it has lies and murders mentioned in the same verse. Liars and murderers. How many lies do you have to tell to be a liar? Just like, you don't have to commit multiple murders to be a murderer. You commit one murder, you're a murderer. Tell one lie, you're a liar. And liars and murderers will have their part in the lake of fire because that is God's justice for paying for sin. Jesus said, look, and that is not too stiff. I tell people all the time, look, do you read the Bible? And the average American doesn't. Then the God you've created in your mind never tells you no. The God you think you know, you think, oh, that's a good quality. I'll put that in my God. Oh, well, yeah, eternal there. Yeah, I'll put that in my God too. And, oh, well, yeah, I'll put that in there. But they don't read the Bible. And then they have this God that's created in their mind that does not exist because it's different from the Bible. God hates sin. Sin offends God. Look, and somebody said, well, I just don't believe in a God that would send somebody to hell. I love this statement. God would rather die than send you to hell. And he did. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. Amen? So he died so you wouldn't have to. Now, that doesn't mean you won't go to hell if you put your faith in him who died for you. Amen? Just because Jesus died for everybody doesn't mean everybody's going to heaven. It means those who put their faith in him. I'm so glad this morning. I can tell you the word blessed, it means happy because of the blood that was shed. I'm happy, or I'm a blessed man when my sins are forgiven, and I'm happy because of that blood that washes away sin. 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. God has offered forgiveness to everyone. Isaiah 1:8 says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. It said back in our text, one more time, Psalm 32, we started there this morning. Just listen to me just for a second. Blessed is the man. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. A blessed man is forgiven. That's why I tell everybody, I ask the question today, could I take the Bible and show you how to get your sins forgiven forever so you can go to heaven? And the person said, I would love to see that. I would love to see that. You know how Catholic priests get saved? I'm not trying to bash Catholics this morning, but when you talk to the Catholics who get saved, the Catholic priests who've been priests for 15 years, who were trained Catholic, this is the question they have in their mind. From the time I entered theology or whatever school, I had this question. How do I get my sins forgiven? Because the Catholic Church teaches the church forgives it or, you know. And then can you imagine a Catholic priest haunted? They got people coming to them in a confession booth, confessing their sins, and at the end they say, your sins be absolved. Can you imagine telling somebody your sins are forgiven and you don't even know if yours are? You don't think that plays mind games? That's why the Bible speaks of a seared conscience. I'm so glad. Confessing your sins to a priest isn't in the Bible. Nowhere found. It's in the church, but it's nowhere in the Bible. But I'm so glad I don't have, I couldn't imagine dealing with 6 or 8 people that come to you, confess their sins, and you say, your sins be forgiven you. And then leaving going, am I forgiven? Now, Psalm 32 says, blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man whose iniquity is covered. Glory to God, my sins under the blood. And this morning, if you're saved, you can be a blessed man knowing that your sins are forgiven. A blessed man is forgiven. God says their sins and their iniquities will he remember no more. Only God Almighty could take our sins so far away when he saves us that he won't remember them anymore. Now, this morning, a blessed man is forgiven. Number 2, take your Bible and go to Psalm 1. What else is a blessed man? A blessed man. Psalm chapter 1, first chapter in Psalms, and look at verse 1. A blessed man is forgiven. And to be blessed and happy. I don't know how you can be truly happy if you're always wondering, am I going to go to heaven? No assurance that you're on your way. No peace of God in your heart from the Holy Ghost witnessing with your spirit that you're a child of God. I don't know how you could be truly. No wonder they drink. No wonder they do drugs. No wonder they fornicate. They're looking for something that they cannot get except through Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed on the cross. That's why they live like animals. That's why they do what they do. There's no peace. Somebody says, well, God's not shocked at what they're doing. God offers them salvation, but no, if you don't get saved, yeah, I guess while you're living on this earth, you better live it up. Because once you die, your eternity in fire begins. This is as good as it gets if you're lost. Amen? Listen to what I'm saying. This is as good as it gets. That's what's scary. Because when your heart stops beating for the last time and you die lost, the fire never stops. And Christian, can I tell you this morning, if you're saved, the opposite is true. Listen, if you're saved, this is as bad as it gets. Aren't you glad? If you're saved and you've trusted Jesus, this is as bad as it'll get. You say, but what I'm going through and the heartache and the trials, I'm just telling you, this is as bad as it gets. Because God says what we're going through now, Romans chapter 8, says it's not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. This is as bad as it gets. That's why when I look at a lost person, when I'm at lights and you're watching people make those left-hand turns in front of you, and you just see them face after face after face after face. Then the light turns green and you turn. You look at all those people lined up in the hand lane. They need to get saved. They're lost. They just need to know. Jesus wants to save them. God's looking for a voice. Blessed is the man who's forgiven. What else is a blessed man? Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. Look at verse 1. Ready? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And then look at verse number 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. I like what one preacher said. Daytime plus nighttime equals all the time. So a blessed man is forgiven. He knows his sins are under the blood of Jesus because he's placed his faith in Christ. And a blessed man is also, he loves the Word of God. He delights in the Word of God. I love my Bible. Psalm 112, verse 1. Just listen. It says, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, listen, that delighteth greatly in his commandments, in the Bible. It's amazing to me that you hold God's Word in your hand. If it's a King James Bible, could I ask you this morning, do you love God's Word? Do you love your Bible? I'm glad you have a Bible, but does it have you? I love this poem. I have it written several places. Though the cover is worn and the pages are torn, and though places bear traces of tears, yet more precious than gold is this book, worn and old, that can shatter and scatter my fears. When I prayerfully look in the precious old book, many pleasures and treasures I see, many tokens of love from the Father above, who is nearest and dearest to me. This old book is my guide. 'Tis a friend by my side. It'll lighten and brighten my way. And each promise I find soothes and gladdens my mind as I read it and heed it each day. A blessed man is forgiven, and a blessed man loves his Bible. Blessed is the man that delighteth greatly in his commandments. This morning, what does a blessed man have? What does a blessed man do? What are the traits of a blessed man? Take your Bible and go to Psalm 34. Let's look at the third trait. Psalm 34, verse 8. He's forgiven. He loves the Word of God. And Psalm 34, verse 8. Psalm 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. He trusts in God. A blessed man trusts God. Psalm 84, now just stay there at Psalm 34, verse 8. But Psalm 84, verse 12 says, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. Jeremiah 17, verse 7 says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and in whose hope the Lord is. I know you know what the word trust means, but the word trust means confidence in or reliance on some quality or attribute of that person. It means, the word trust means, I depend, I need Him. And this morning, a man who trusts in the Word of God, a man who says, God said it, that settles it. I love my Bible and I need God. I don't know this morning what the future holds. You know, and God has ways of reminding all us of that. I'd like to think I'm going to get up tomorrow morning. I've told you this before, but I don't know I'm going to get up, right? I mean, I really hope I do, okay? But you don't know if you're getting up tomorrow either. And God has ways of reminding us that we're not in control like we think we are. I need God. And a man is blessed the more you realize you need God today, you need God tomorrow. The more you realize that, the more blessed and the more happy you are. And you get frustrated when you realize you're not in control. Because you think, well, I got this and this and this and this. I got things I got to do too. But God can alter that schedule that fast. God can take a man's health in 1 minute. I've visited men in the hospital, hardworking men, were totally out of control of the disease that hit them. It didn't have anything to do with their character. Every time God lays a man on his back to look up, it's always to remind the man, right? God says, I hold tomorrow in my hand. I'm in control. You need me. You need to depend on me. Blessed is the man who relies, who depends, who needs God. I need him. I don't just know about him. I just don't know he exists. I know he did. I don't just trust him as my Savior. I need him. And if you're that way, God says, you're blessed. You're blessed. Blessed is the man who's forgiven. Blessed is the man who loves the Bible, who loves his word, the Word of God. And blessed is the man who trusts God. This morning, I just want to remind you, it's good to believe what God says about everything. Psalm 119, verse 128 says, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. A lost parent, when we were teaching in the Christian school, a dad to the kids, he said, I got to talk to you. I said, okay. I sat down with that man for 3 hours. He said, I don't know why you have to start every class with prayer. I was like, well, that's a first. Well, come to find out, the dad was lost. He saw no reason for his kids to go to a Christian school. It was the mom that wanted the kids in the Christian school. He said, I just don't know why you gotta. I said, sir, I said, God's the basis of everything. Well, 1 + 1 = 2. I said, 1 + 1 = 2 because that's what God designed it to be. And it never changes because that's what God designed. God made the laws of the universe. Gravity pulls down, right? Nothing goes up. I mean, try it. Just every once in a while, just, well, I wonder if it'll, yeah, okay. Oh, okay, comes down. You know when things are normal, whenever everything goes down. Nothing goes up. Nothing. You say, it's because that's how God designed it. And those laws don't change because God doesn't change. God is the basis of everything. You say, where are you getting at? God's word holds the answer to everything. That's why I can trust him. God has everything to say about marriage. God knows exactly how a job is supposed to be run. God knows how to raise your kids. God knows how to manage your finances. God knows music. We can go in any topic you want this morning. Entertainment, friends, it's all in the Bible. And all of it is right. I can trust. Blessed is the man that trusts God because he trusts his word and his sins are forgiven. What else? Just if I said this morning, I like saying this. There's no Big Bang other than God said it and bang, it happened. But there is no Big Bang theory. There never was. I like this statement. Read 2 Peter chapter 3. It all ends in a bang. Everything explodes and burns up. But there is no pfft, and then the universe. God made it, and then it says 3 times in the Bible, God stretched out the universe. They still don't know how big it is. That's God, one, man, constant zero. they're saying galaxies, you understand? We're a solar system in a galaxy. They're saying there's millions of solar systems in the Milky Way. Talking star, circle, planets, okay? They're saying there's billions of galaxies. Do the math on that. It'll trip you out. You know what I mean? You might need some more coffee. Hey, I'm just saying, they still don't know how big the universe is. That's because the creation is the testimony of the Creator. And as the universe is eternal, so is our God. Amen. He made it 6,000 years ago. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. We got to read it this morning. Blessed is the man whose strength is in the Lord. His strength is in thee and in whose heart are the ways of them. Listen, this morning, I'd like to testify. It's the Lord Jesus that saved me, and it's the Lord Jesus that keeps me saved. I'm so glad it's not up to me to keep me saved. Look, I didn't deserve to go to heaven before I got saved, and since I've been saved, I still don't deserve to go to heaven. Amen? It was by His grace that He saved me, and through His precious blood. I'm saved because of what Jesus did for me on the cross, and I've trusted Him as my Savior. And this morning, I still don't deserve to go to heaven. Amen? A blessed man is forgiven. He loves the Bible. And a blessed man trusts the Lord. What else does he do? Go to Psalm 65. Psalm 65. Ready? Look at verse 4. Psalm 65. Psalm 65, and look at verse 4. What are the traits of a blessed man in the Bible? And that's what we're looking at this morning, kind of in a little bit of memory of Father's Day. But look at Psalm 65, verse 4. Blessed is the man. Well, no, we're not. And just so you know, I know I told you 13 times, blessed is the man in the Bible. We're not looking. This is not a 13-point sermon. Okay? So you can go like that. Okay? All right. Aren't you glad? Look here. Psalm 65, verse 4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. That's an amazing verse to me. That means if you love God this morning, it's because you humbled yourself. Because God says He's attracted to the humble, those that humble themselves, and He's repelled by pride. Doesn't it say that? And James says that many times. God rejects the proud. God stiff arms the proud. Anytime I say, yeah, but this is my house, my money, my car, my clothes, my life, God goes, enough. What gets God's attention is when you humble yourself. God, all that I have, my house, my wife, my family, Lord, everything I have from You. God says, really, You recognize me for who I am? And if you love God this morning, it's not because you're a wonderful Christian. It's because you're humble. Amen. Blessed is the man that God chooses. Who does God choose? We know God doesn't play favorites, right? We know God doesn't. In other words, God loves us all the same, right? But you don't know God loves you until you humble yourself before Him. Then you experience that love, right? You humble for salvation, right? I'm a sinner. I admit what I am. Then after you get saved, you keep humbling yourself. God, I need You. And as you humble yourself, God says, I love Psalm 65. I choose you. Come near to me. And the people this morning, look, the greatest Christian in this room doesn't know they're the greatest Christian because you're humble. And when you humble yourself before God, I like what one Christian said, I take a dirty rag to my closet when I pray. After I've wiped the counter, the sink, wrung it out, wiped off and dusted, I take it into the prayer closet with me and I hold on to it and I say, God, I come to You this morning. God, I'm so dirty. It's only because of You I'm clean. It's only because of You I can come to You into Your presence. That's humility. That's humility. That's me knowing, God, I'm nothing. And God says, I'll choose you. And God chooses every person that says, I humble myself. And then look at the next, look at the part of the verse. I just read it and meditate and think about it. And cause us to approach unto thee. God gives you His grace to approach Him. What? That He may dwell in thy courts. Wow, that's the presence of God. So what is a blessed man? He's forgiven, he loves the Bible, he trusts the Lord, and he walks with God. He's caused by God to approach to Him. Christian, this morning, if you want a closer, look, I'll say it again, don't leave your church thinking, well, God loves people, others more than me. No, God loves you the same. And God will cause you, allow you to get as close to Him as you humble yourself. In the Christian life, the way down is the way you get up close to God. And the more you're willing to get low, the higher God will take you. He exalts the humble, right? Isn't that in the Proverbs? It's all through your Bible. So blessed is the man who's forgiven. He loves the Bible. He trusts God. And he walks with God. I love this. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. I'll end this point. We got one more point here this morning, but before I end this point, if he walks with God, Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? We're on the 19th lesson in Sunday school. We start Sunday school at 10 o'clock. We're on the 19th lesson of walking with God. There's about 15 more lessons on walking with God. And when you say walking with God, I know my boss, he was lost as a goose in a snowstorm. in Tennessee, blacksmith. I loved him to death. Yeah, I was Episcopalian. I was an altar boy. I'm a God-fearing man. I mean, he was always on fire for God. Okay, never mind. When you ask my boss, he'll tell you, oh yeah, I'm on my way to heaven. I said, boss, how do you know that? He said, I ain't killed nobody. It changed every time I asked. I asked him about three times. He said, okay, time to get welding. So he was a blacksmith and I did his welding for him. Never let me finish. Boss, how do you know you're going to heaven? I'm faithful to my wife. Faithful. I never cheat on my wife. Okay, let's get welding. Anytime I wanted to get welding, I just would ask him about his sins being forgiven. It was so sad. Because he'd avoid that question. Can two walk together except they be agreed? When I'd mention that to my boss, oh yeah. I'm a God-fearing man. If you mention walking with God with people, this morning's Sunday school lessons on walking with God. Oh, I already know how to do that. Do you? Do you walk with God? Can two walk together except they be agreed? Can I tell you this morning, every Christian in here, you walk with God as much as you agree with Him. And you don't walk with God in the areas you don't agree with Him. Can two walk together? That's Amos 3:3. Beautiful verse to just sit down and meditate on. Where do I not want God in my life? I promise you it's where you disagree with God. Well, me and God, we just don't see eye to eye. Okay, I need to repent. Amen? I need my thinking changed. God doesn't change. God says, this is where I am. Anywhere you are out there, you can come as close to me as you want, but this is where you meet me. It is these conditions, and these are eternal, and these have never changed. And I'm so glad. That's what makes God just and fair. God says, well, if you want to get close to me, God never says, well, okay, it's different for you, but it's different for you. And, well, you know, aren't you glad? God says, these are the conditions you get close to me with. Blessed is the man. And finally, let's go to James chapter 1. Go to James. It's in the New Testament near the book of Revelation. About five books back there. James chapter 1. If you see Hebrews, James is right after Hebrews. James chapter 1. So blessed is the man. Look, you could take a concordance and do this morning what I've done with a sermon. I took blessed is the man and I said, what traits does God bless? What traits does God want a man to know about? You need to know about your sins being forgiven. You need to love the Bible. You need to trust God. You need to walk with God. And look at James chapter 1 verse 12. James chapter 1 and verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. God says you're blessed if you exercise discipline and character. This needs to be said in our society. When you have no goals and you have no self-discipline and you have no drive and you have no dreams and there's nothing you're striving for and there's nothing you push yourself to do and nothing you keep yourself from, that's discipline. That's character. And when you don't have goals and when you don't have that, you're depressed. Because God didn't make you to be that way. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, that can look at something and say, I don't live that way, I don't talk that way, I don't dress that way, I don't do that. Blessed is the man that has self-control and discipline and says, this is what I stand for. I do not cross that line. And when I'm tempted, I can say no. That takes discipline. That takes character. In this generation, well, I just, you know, whatever comes my way. Good grief. Draw some lines. Have some guidelines in your life. Blessed is the man. Happy is the man because blood that was shed, because now he can resist temptation. He can say no to it. I don't look at that. I don't think that way. I'm not going to talk that way. This is how I live. Blessed is that man. He's blessed. And this morning, there needs to be a revival of character where we say, you know what? I have goals in my life. There's things I'm striving for, and there's things I know God wants for me, and there's lines I don't cross. There's places I do not go. You say, why? Because you're trying to impress the preacher? No. Because you're trying to impress the church? No. Because I walk with God. God's with me when I leave church this morning. God's with me when I go home. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. I love this verse, Proverbs 11:14. And you know what? Let's end with this. Watch. On this point, go to Proverbs, right in the middle of your Bible, right past Psalms. And this One more verse underneath the exercise of self-control. Proverbs 11:16. A gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches. I wish you'd underline the verse, a strong man retains riches. God measures strength. It doesn't say a strong man bench presses a pickup truck. God doesn't measure strength by your physical strength. God measures strength by your ability to control yourself. You're only as strong as you can control yourself and discipline yourself. Retain riches, my uncle used to say. Okay, here's a 20. How long can you keep it in your wallet? When we walk into the store, do you have to spend it? That's what my uncle used to say to me. He said, see, there's four 20s right there. He said, see that $100 bill? He said, I've had it in there for 3 months. To him, that was a sign of strength. How long can you keep $100 in your... So I used to say, when I read that in the Bible, I was like, wow. My uncle wasn't quoting the verse, but he was teaching me Bible. Does money burn a hole in your pocket, or can you save it? Do you have the self-control to say, no, discipline, character, inward strength? This morning, I wanted to just take a few of the verses and say, what does God bless in a man? Blessed is the man. We looked at a few traits. There's some more. I hope this is an encouragement to you. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word this morning. I pray that, Father, please, you'd help us as your children.